Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And as you're turning there, some Christmas questions for you. Christmas and winter. So why did Frosty the Snowman break up with his girlfriend? She was a complete flake. What do you call a reindeer with bad manners? Rudolph. Rudolph, Harley. All right, one more. What's the best Christmas present ever other than Jesus Christ? Best Christmas present ever. A broken drum. You just can't beat it. You just can't beat it. I'm going to save that for my laugh track. I'm going to play it every week. Every week. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about Christmas wonder. And oftentimes this time of year, we hear that phrase, Christmas wonder, or the wonders of Christmas. And generally, I really don't pay much attention to it because it's normally taken out of context and it's directed towards the materialistic things of Christmas. But this year, it kept bringing my thoughts back to that Christmas story in the Bible. Brother read it earlier this morning, Luke chapter 2. Let's start reading right in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Now I know this is the same passage, as I said before, that Brother Ken read for us as our scripture reading, but I specifically planned it that way. And the reason? Christmas wonder. For us, for Christians, Christmas can be a challenge. Each year we hear that same, or we read that same Christmas passage here in Luke chapter 2. And many of us, we've heard it every single Christmas, year after year since we were young. We've heard it in so many times, and we've heard it in so many different ways. We've heard it through sermons and through Christmas carols and through plays, and we see it through nativity scenes. And we've heard about Mary and Joseph and the angel Gabriel and the Caesar's decree, the crowded inn, the wise men. We've heard it all over and over and over. And here's my point. These passages, these stories, this account is so well known that it presents a problem to us sometimes. that when we hear it again, we don't really hear it. We listen, but we really don't hear what's being said. Being so familiar brings, you know, brings disinterest. It brings, just a casual, I've heard it so many times, I know it like the back of my hand. So my hope this morning is to reignite that spark and bring that wonder back to this Christmas story, back into the miracle and majesty of Christmas. Amen. Christmas is our reminder of God's unconditional love for us, how he entered into our humanity as that babe in Bethlehem, how his relentless love saw our helpless, our hopeless condition, and he came to pay our sin debt. So to help us stay engaged with this well-known story, I want us to just focus on the small details. Amen. We've heard the story in totality so many different times, but this morning I want us to really just think about those small details. I want us to consider those often overlooked parts about this passage. By focusing on these smaller details, those small details of this Christmas miracle, it's going to help us to see this whole event in a complete different light. Amen? And the first thing I want us to see, I want us to consider the sign. That sign of Jesus Christ. Right in verse 11, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." These angels are sent from God, and they come and they declare to a group of lowly, humble shepherds, keeping watch over their flock. They're out in the fields working that night. And these angels come to them, sent by God, and give them and declare to them the greatest announcement that this world has ever heard. Now, I want you to think about the magnitude of that. How often do we overlook that announcement? Think about how unprepared these unlikely shepherds were. Think about that for a second. Out of every single person on the face of the earth at that time, all the kings, all the princes, all the dignitaries that were available, God chose a handful of lowly shepherds to receive the greatest announcement this world will ever hear. They were handpicked by God himself to receive that incredible announcement. Messiah has come. A Savior has been given to the world. And not only that, but he's right here in Bethlehem. Right in the same city that they were watching there, that they were watching over their flock, right in Bethlehem. Think what was going through their mind as just humble servants, shepherds. They hear this announcement that a Savior has been given, and he's right here in Bethlehem. Going through their mind, they were probably thinking, but where? Where in Bethlehem? The city was packed with people from all over the place. Remember, you know, Caesar sent out that decree, and everyone had packed that little city of Bethlehem to be registered. How will they possibly know where to look? That's where verse 12 jumps off the pages. The angel said, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The angels tell them that God has provided a sign. And not just a sign. In the original Greek, it was the absolute definite article, the sign. Not just a sign, God was sending them the sign. And the word, the sign itself, refers to a divine, supernatural sign from God. God was going to give them a divine supernatural sign so that they couldn't miss it. We think about other supernatural signs that God has given us. God was saying, look, I'm going to give you a sign much like I parted the Red Sea. The same way that I healed the sick. How I gave sight to the blind. How I walked on water. How I gave life to the dead. All these were divine supernatural signs. And God said, I'm going to give you one more. All supernatural divine signs to proclaim that Almighty God cares and that He intervenes in human history. Amen. Now let's be honest for just a moment. If we were in charge of that announcement, just think in your head, if God handpicked you to be in charge to make the greatest announcement that this world has ever heard, think about how you would pull that off. We would have done things a lot differently, wouldn't we? Amen? If we were in charge, I don't know about you, but I probably would have told the angels, look, I want you to tell those shepherds that this will be a sign to you that God is going to align all the stars to point exactly to where the baby Savior is. Amen? All the stars, all the planets are going to line up perfectly and they're going to form an arrow and point exactly where that baby is. But God didn't do it that way, did He? He didn't do anything like that. He said the sign would be plain and it would be simple. A babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a simple manger. The sign. With a sign like that, very simple, very plain, it's even more important for us to really focus on those small details. God is telling us that those small details, those particular circumstances of Jesus' birth are vitally important to the Christmas story. Vitally important to that Christmas miracle that we celebrate every single year. Think about why. Well, there's no doubt. Certainly there were other babies born in Bethlehem. Amen. Jesus could have been born in any circumstance that God wanted to choose. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Now, when the Bible says the fullness of time, that's saying that when the time was exactly perfect, not too soon, not too late, exactly at the right moment, the Bible says God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. We have to understand, it's important for us to understand that there is great significance in those little details in which our Savior entered into humanity. Amen? We think about, why a manger? Why a baby? Why swaddling clothes? Not the usual signs of a royal birth, is there? You know, think about when the royals in England have a new birth, a new child entering into royalty. How do they handle their announcement? When an heir to the throne is born in England, it's covered by every news media, every news outlet, not just in England, not just in England and the United States, but the entire world is there. Every news media outlet around the world is present. They scramble to be the first to publish that grand announcement from the king's palace. All the pomp, the circumstance, all the grandeur that's associated with it. But God chose a simple, unassuming announcement. There wasn't any pomp. There wasn't any circumstance, no grandeur about it, just lowly shepherds working in a field, and he chose a simple, unassuming sign, a babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Plain and simple. God was manifested in the flesh. God incarnate, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus Christ is Almighty God who took on human flesh, who entered into our humanity. The greatest announcement the world has ever heard, but God kept it simple and plain. So we wouldn't get it confused. We wouldn't get caught up in the materialistic things. Just kept it simple and to the point. But somehow, the world missed God's supernatural sign. If you're familiar with the Bible, we knew that the Jewish people, you know, they were looking for Messiah. We read in the Christmas account in the book of Matthew that even Herod's scribes knew the scriptures. They quoted Micah 5:2. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." They knew that Christ, they knew Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So we ask why. Why didn't they recognize him when he came? And the answer is they simply failed to see the divine in the ordinary. They failed to see those small details. They were looking for some huge spectacular sign. A sign worthy of a political savior that would free them from Roman rule. You see, they were looking for a physical savior. They were looking for a ruler to sit on the throne to free them from their physical bondage, to free them from Roman rule. But God saw their greater need, and God sent them a personal Savior that would free them from Satan's rule, more importantly. God gave us an almighty Savior in a simple sign, and they totally missed it. And that same simple sign is the same message that we share with everyone that will listen today. Amen? And the majority of the world is still missing it. Secondly, I want us to consider the humanity of Christ. Going back to verse 12. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." So as part of the sign, the divine supernatural sign, God tells these shepherds that you will find a babe, a little baby. Do you know what the Greek word for babe means here? It means just an ordinary baby, nothing special. Amen? It just means an ordinary, common baby, nothing else. So what makes this small detail so simple? It tells us that Jesus, God himself, God in the flesh, God entered humanity. He entered the world the same way that we all come into this world, as a tiny little baby. Amen. Now, we have to make a side note here that the way that Mary conceived was absolutely supernatural. She was a virgin conceived by God's Holy Spirit, but the way that Jesus, the way of his physical birth into humanity, was just as a common, ordinary baby, just like all of us. He is Emmanuel, God incarnate, God in the flesh. He's not half God and half man. He is fully God and fully man. Important for us to understand that. When Jesus stepped out of glory and he took on human flesh, he didn't leave his divinity behind. He was still God. What he did leave behind, he left his glory behind and took on human flesh. He was still 100% God, becoming 100% man. And we need to understand that Christmas is the central truth of Christianity. Almighty God, full of mercy and grace and love towards us, he loved us so much that he chose to enter into our humanity. Why? To provide a way. Jesus provided a way in a manger. Amen? A way of salvation. He became sin and he died in our place and he paid our sin debt. What we could never do, Jesus did for us. Amen? That is central to Christianity. That is the Christmas story. He had to become one of us in order to save us. That's why he took on human flesh. That's why he entered our humanity. Next, I want us to consider his shackles. Verse 12. This will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. What are swaddling clothes? Well, we have to go back in those days in Jesus' time. Newborn babies were wrapped with strips of cloth to protect them from the elements. You know, Bethlehem and Israel, it's, you know, pretty much desert. But you have to understand what happens at nighttime in the desert. It gets cold. Amen? So newborn babies were wrapped with these swaddling clothes to protect them from those cold desert nights. The mom would take strips of cloth and they'd wrap the arms and the legs individually. And then they would take those arms and legs and then they would wrap them real tight against the torso. And this would bind and this would shackle that little baby. They would hardly be able to move, but it would protect them from the elements. So Jesus entered our humanity, shackled, bound, and unable to utter even a single word. Think about that. When I read through that scripture, I couldn't help but to think back and compare that to his last days, the last days of his earthly ministry. I thought back to his arrest, how he was bound, and how he was shackled and he was put on trial, how he was mocked and he was beaten and he was spit upon and he was falsely accused over and over and over, and yet he never uttered a single word. How fitting that Christ entered humanity in the exact same way he left, shackled and speechless. He was bound so that we could be set free. Amen. The last thing I want us to consider this morning, I want us to consider his humility. That sign, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, but where would he be found? Lying what? In a manger. Manger sounds really cute, doesn't it? You know, we see the nativity scenes and we see this beautiful, cute little manger, but that word manger just doesn't do it justice. Amen? What is a manger? A manger is literally an animal's feeding trough. This is where the cows and the donkeys would eat their food. It was dirty, and it smelled awful. Did you ever go near where a cow eats or where a horse or a donkey eats? It stinks. It's nasty. And that feeding trough was in a stable. A stable was an even more wretched smelling cave. They would use these caves much like how we have barns today. That's where they would hold their animals, and that's where they would be fed from the to keep them from the elements. But how often do we truly picture that scene? That little babe, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, lying in a nasty, dirty feeding trough. Now, I'm sure Mary and Joseph cleaned it out as best they could. There's no doubt they tried. But it was still a feeding trough in a cave, a stable where the animals were kept. Almighty God, Creator of all things, King of kings, Lord of lords, entered into our humanity in those conditions. Let me tell you something. Even the poorest in our nation wouldn't tolerate those conditions. Amen. But that would set the tone for his entire earthly ministry, wouldn't it? He was the humblest of the humble. He was the epitome of humility. Jesus never owned a home of his own. The Bible said he would often use a stone for a pillow. He slept on the ground wherever he went. Most of the time he survived by the generosity of others, inviting him into his home and feeding him. And he died nailed to an old rugged cross. Even after his death, he didn't even have a tomb of his own. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea gave him a tomb to be buried in. The definition of humility wouldn't be how I would have planned it, amen? It would have been grand and great. God himself coming in, entering into our humanity. That would have been the biggest party the earth has ever seen. Amen? But that's not how God did it. That's not how he arranged it. It was simple. It was plain. And it was humble. And that's just God's way. For he is the God of great wonders. Amen? And he has filled the pages of his word, and specifically this well-known Christmas passage in Luke chapter 2, with so many Christmas wonders. If we take the time and slow down and just look at those little details and understand the magnitude of what God has done for us. Listen, if the world needed an army, God would have sent a general. If the world needed more money or more wealth, God would have sent a banker. But the world was in dire need of a Savior, so he came himself and took on the form of a newborn baby. You see, that is the wonder of Christmas. What a simple but profound Christmas message. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.